Matthew chapter 25. This is probably a more familiar parable than some that we've chosen to study. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went, dug in the ground, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more besides them. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Therefore you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Browsing the radio channels recently, I heard a national speaker say that he was using talent that was on loan from God. I kind of chuckled. I thought that's the essence of egotism, to think that that would be true of him. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that that's true of every one of us, that we all have talent that is loaned to us by God. The passage that best illustrates that is the story that Jesus told that we're studying this morning, the story about the talents. But you need to understand that Jesus is telling this story probably 2 days before he's going to be crucified. He's sitting on the Mount of Olives. His initial purpose was to respond to the question of his disciples concerning his return back to Jerusalem and the terrible destruction that he had promised, terrible destruction of the city and the people. The disciples asked, when are these things going to happen and what is the sign? Jesus, in the process of answering those questions, tells them this story. The framework of the story is very simple. A very wealthy man wanted to take a journey. It was a journey to a far country. So he placed his goods, his possessions, in the care of his 3 servants. Then, as soon as that assignment was done, he left. He went to a far country. He was gone a long time. When he came back, He called his stewards or his servants and demanded of them an accounting of what he had entrusted to their care. That's the framework of the story. Very simple. You need to understand, though, that a talent is a large sum of money. The best way to figure how much a talent would be a talent equals 6,000 daily wages. 6,000 daily wages. I did some figuring on that last night so that you'd have some idea of the sums of money that were involved, but this is indeed a very wealthy man. If you took the guy works 50 weeks of the year, 5 days a week, that's 250 days. It would take him 24 years of labor, saving everything he made to accumulate a talent. Now, if we imagine that the man made $20,000 a year, to figure it a different way, if a man made $20,000 a year, saved every penny, and he worked 24 years, he would have $480,000, roughly $500,000. That's talent. It's a lot of money. And when the second servant was given 2 talents, that's $960,000. And of course, 5 talents would be $2,400,000. We're talking about huge sums of money. The responsibility is great. These 3 servants are put in charge, and the owner leaves for a far country. We're told that immediately 2 of them went right to work, the other dug a hole and put his single talent in the hole. Now, there's a phrase that ought to catch our attention. It tells us that the servants were given different amounts, different numbers of talents according to his own ability. So the master had made some observation of the talents and skills of the respective servants, and he chose to put in the hands of the one with the greatest ability the greatest amount. You have a 5-talent guy. You have a 2-talent guy. You have a 1-talent guy. Each of them are given opportunity or resources that match their ability. And when they are judged later, each is judged according to his own account. That is, the one who only received 1 talent is not expected to produce with his 1 talent and his 1-talent ability what the 5-talent guy produced. It's very fair. The master observed the talent, the capacity, and assigned his resources accordingly. Now, while our Constitution tells us that all of us are created equal, the Constitution did not tell us that all of us are equal, because we're not. In God's infinite wisdom, he has made us quite different. He has given some of you enormous abilities. Incredible abilities. Some are very sharp intellectually. They think clearly. They can think abstractly. Some have great mechanical ability. They can do things with their hands that the rest of us marvel. Some have great athletic ability. They can do things with balls and bats and rackets that are spectacular. Some people have great ability to show compassion and love. And when you're with them, you feel supported. And they have great reservoirs of sympathy that they can give. Other people are very good at talking. Some people are very good at writing. We're all a mosaic. But when God looks at us, he looks at each of us as individuals, and he knows our capacities, because our abilities, because he made us individually. There is no such thing as a cookie cutter mechanism for producing people. We are each individually and singularly designed by the Creator. Jesus is teaching that to each according to his ability, God then gives stuff. He gives talent. I don't know what the talent would mean to you, or I don't know what would represent the talent to you. It's obvious in the story, it represents opportunity. Opportunity to use your ability, opportunity to serve the master, opportunity to expand the master's holdings through your personal ability and through your personal involvement. And that certainly is involved. I would suppose talent today would be measured in terms of relationships, in terms of opportunity, in terms of training. I would think that talents today also include those things that belong to God that are entrusted to us, like air, water, soil, things like that that we use, things that have the capacity to be used either for our own selfish gratification or to give pleasure and glory to God and to extend His kingdom. While the gifts given or the talents loaned indeed form a great opportunity for us, they also form a huge responsibility. They are not our talents. They belong to God. About 4 months ago, I received a letter from a friend who was here the morning we gave the $10 bills. Do you remember that? Remember that? Everybody left the auditorium with a $10 bill in 10 weeks to do the best they could with that $10 bill to produce something by which they could use their talents, use their abilities, and in that process, return to the Lord and interest on the $10. That was the whole idea. The main point was to make all of us aware that everything we have is a talent from God. That we brought nothing into this world, we're going to take nothing out, and whether it comes by way of wage or whether it comes by way of gift or whether it comes by way of reward, everything we receive belongs to God. It's His stuff, not ours. We didn't bring it in and we're not going to take it out. Well, about 4 months ago, I received a letter. A young man who was in that service took that $10 bill, took it home, and put it where he was going to act on it. He moved 3 times in the process, and in preparing, I think, to move again, he discovered that $10 bill in the original envelope with the original 10 weeks. Now, I'm sure he didn't deliberately mean to do that. I'm sure his intent was to put the $10 to work. While he held in his hand, he undoubtedly had some interesting ideas of ways that he could experiment with the use of his talents and that $10 bill. But in his letter, he tells how he was a bit anxious, how he felt a singular responsibility for that $10 bill that he had not felt toward any dollar that he ever had held in his hands before. And so he procrastinated. And as he procrastinated, other things piled on top of the letter. Other things covered the envelope. And he missed the opportunity. I was so glad that he sent the $10 back and showed an honest spirit. But had he simply put the $10 in the bank, it would have at least earned something. That's the mistake that the one guy with the one talent made. He refused the responsibility. He refused to take the opportunity. He buried the talent. We'll hear more about why in just a moment. Each of us here this morning are standing in relationship to God like one of these three servants. Each of us have been given by God great ability, great opportunity, great resources, incredible resources. And someday, there'll be an accounting. And what takes place when the Lord returns is depicted here as the two men who first with the five and the other with the two come and say to the Lord, here's your five talents and here's five more. I've doubled my trust. I've been able to earn twice what you gave me. And in response to both of them, the Lord says, well done, good and faithful servant. Notice he doesn't distinguish between the five or the two. To both of them, the same words are spoken. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Faithfulness was the test. It wasn't ingenuity. It was faithfulness. It was taking the ability that God had given, taking the talent that God provided, putting the two together energetically and producing something that gave pleasure to the master. You are a faithful servant. You are a good servant. And notice what happens. He says, I will make you ruler. Ruler. In the parable, the master returning is a parallel to that experience when our Lord Jesus comes back and takes us home. In that moment, there will be an accounting. And in that accounting, what we have done with the ability and resources we have in this life will be measured, not against somebody else's talent and ability, but against our own. Those who have been faithful are going to enter into a rulership. That certainly suggests that there's more to heaven than just lying in a hammock and drinking iced tea. It very clearly raises our expectation that there will be assignments, there will be responsibilities, there will be privileged positions for those who have proven faithful in this life. It tells us that we're going to be active, we're going to be involved in the administration of the ruler of the universe in his kingdom. And how I respond to the five talents today dictates my capacity to rule with him then. Notice also, you have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. I wonder what the many things are. It's a mystery. Nowhere I could find an answer to that question in Scripture. The Apostle Paul once quoted, he said, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. He goes on to say that God has revealed them by his Spirit, but he's not revealed all of them. From this we learn that heaven is not just a state of mind, heaven is not just a place of rest, although it will involve rest, but heaven is a place of activity, a place of many things. And we learn that the master takes delight in sharing his rulership, his lordship, his administration with those who are proven faithful. It also tells us that there's a measure of joy that the faithful will experience. Enter the joy of the Lord. That phrase doesn't just mean that we'll have a good time. It means that we will actually be able to participate and experience God's joy. That his joy and his delight will be our joy, our delight. And that we will be able to experience joy like we've never known it before. Wonderful story, wonderful application, wonderful promise. But there's one more servant. Notice his attitude, verse 24. He who received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. That's the core of his problem. He thought about the master incorrectly. It was his basic view, his basic attitude, that the master was harsh, unyielding. That the master was not generous and kind. Now, remind you, he had entrusted to him a handsome sum of money. a huge amount. One whole talent was his. But because of his attitude toward his master, he refused to engage the talent. He refused to take the responsibility of multiplying it. I meet people every day, so do you, who are angry at God. They have their own pet list of why he is deserving, what grievances he has caused, what things that he failed to do, what things he should have done, and on and on and on their list goes. But the bottom line is they consider themselves higher than God, and they sit in judgment upon God and his deeds, though, of course, they don't understand anything about God. Those folks are not interested in serving God. They're not interested in doing things that honor the one who has given them health and life. And that's the problem with this man. So he went. He says, I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you can have back what you gave me. Undiminished, but no gain. Well, the master puts his finger on the real problem. You wicked and lazy servant. He said, if I'm the kind of person that you think I am, you should have at least put my talent to work with the bankers. That way I would have earned simple interest. And in the Roman Empire, that was set at 12%. So that when I returned after my lengthy journey, I would have received my talent plus what interest it would have earned. And you would have been free of the responsibility. The bankers would have been responsible to make it work. You didn't even do that. And then Jesus says in the parable, cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Surely that's a picture of the place God designed for the devil and his angels. And surely that's a fate, an experience more horrible than words can describe. And it happened to someone who was able to live his whole life, able to enjoy the opportunity of the talent, someone that had the ability given to him by God to do something with the talent that would be significant, and yet he absolutely, utterly refused. And he perished. He not only lost opportunity, he not only lost the talent, but he lost his life. Terrible tragedy. And just one more thing Jesus says. He says, take that one talent, the one that I gave the man who wouldn't use it, give it to the one who has made five more. He's proven himself to be very capable. He's proven to be faithful. He's proven to be good. Now he has 11 talents. I don't know what that means, but it's exciting to think about how that may relate to our experience in heaven. That God is not going to allow those talents that went unused here on earth by lazy and slothful people, he's not going to allow those talents just to die, but rather he's going to reassign them to people who've proven faithful in this life. Bow with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, words of wisdom, caution, words of great concern. That each of us would be held responsible by you for that talent that you've given us, for the ability that you've given us, and the life you've given us. What an awesome thing to have to answer to you for how we use it. The story reminds us that there are some who will be found short through indifference, laziness. They will fumble away the opportunities in this life to serve you, and they will be red-faced and empty-handed when they stand before you. My friend, while you reflect upon this parable, let me clarify just two things. The parable is not teaching that we gain God's favor by good works. Scripture everywhere says that we gain God's favor as a gift of grace, that God gives to us the gift of salvation. But the parable is not teaching that the two gained salvation by good behavior while the one lost salvation by misbehavior. It is teaching that the one who lost his soul lost it through neglect, and that neglect was motivated by his lack of reverence and honor for the Master. What would your attitude be about God? The second thing to note is that the talents take the measure of us. That is, ultimately, how we use them becomes the measure by which our relationship with God in his eternal home is determined. That means that everything we do, everything we say, every place we go, every dollar we spend, every hour we spend has the significant potential of impacting our eternity. So, Father, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts into wisdom. May we carry with us the burden of the parable with its wonderful teaching of opportunity to be effective in things that matter to you and reaping great reward when you return. Teach us also the solemn misfortune of the one who is lazy, selfish, wasteful, and the awful thing that he experienced in your presence. Help us as we go into our week's activities to weigh these things, to count our abilities, measure our talents, and productively use them for your glory. And our Father, teach us so that we might stand before you in that day we face you and hear from your lips that commendation, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many." May that be the passion, may that be the lodestar, may that be the motivating principle of all that we do from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen.